2. The friends turned out of Trubnoy Square into Grachevka and soon reached the side street which Vasilyev only knew by reputation. Seeing two rows of houses with brightly lighted windows and wide-open doors, and hearing gay strains of pianos and violins, sounds which floated out from every door and mingled in a strange chaos, as though an unseen orchestra were tuning up in the darkness above the roofs, Vasilyev was surprised and said, "What a lot of houses."
"That's nothing," said the medical student. "In London, there are 10 times as many. There are about 100,000 such women there."
The cabmen were sitting on their boxes as calmly and indifferently as in any other side street. The same passers-by were walking along the pavement as in other streets. No one was hurrying. No one was hiding his face in his coat collar. No one shook his head reproachfully. And in this indifference to the noisy chaos of pianos and violins, to the bright windows and wide-open doors, there was a feeling of something very open, insolent, reckless, and devil-may-care. Probably it was as gay and noisy at the slave markets in their day, and people's faces and movements showed the same indifference.
"Let us begin from the beginning," said the artist.
The friends went into a narrow passage lighted by a lamp with a reflector. When they opened the door, a man in a black coat with an unshaven face like a flunky's and sleepy-looking eyes got up lazily from a yellow sofa in the hall. The place smelt like a laundry with an odor of vinegar in addition. A door from the hall led into a brightly lighted room. The medical student and the artist stopped at this door and, craning their necks, peeped into the room.
"Buonasera, signori, Rigoletto, Huguenotti, Traviata," began the artist with a theatrical bow.
"Havana, Tarcano, Pistoletto,"
said the medical student, pressing his cap to his breast and bowing low. Vasilyev was standing behind them. He would have liked to make a theatrical bow and say something silly too, but he only smiled, felt an awkwardness that was like shame, and waited impatiently for what would happen next. A little fair girl of 17 or 18, with short hair, in a short light blue frock with a bunch of white ribbon on her bosom, appeared in the doorway.
"Why do you stand at the door?" she said. "Take off your coats and come into the drawing room."
The medical student and the artist, still talking Italian, went into the drawing room. Vasilia followed them irresolutely.
"Gentlemen, take off your coats," the flunky said sternly. "You can't go in like that."
In the drawing room there was, besides the girl, another woman, very stout and tall, with a foreign face and bare arms. She was sitting near the piano, laying out a game of Patience on her lap. She took no notice whatever of the visitors.
"Where are the other young ladies?"
asked the medical student.
"They are having their tea," said the fair girl. "Stepan," she called, "go and tell the young ladies some students have come."
A little later, a third young lady came into the room. She was wearing a bright red dress with blue stripes. Her face was painted thickly and unskillfully. Her brow was hidden under her hair, and there was an unblinking, frightened stare in her eyes. As she came in, she began at once singing some song in a coarse, powerful contralto. After her, a fourth appeared, and after her, a fifth. In all this, Vasilyev saw nothing new or interesting. It seemed to him that the room, the piano, the looking-glass in its cheap gilt frame, the bunch of white ribbon, the dress with the blue stripes, and the blank, indifferent faces he had seen before, and more than once. Of the darkness, the silence, the secrecy, the guilty smile, of all that he had expected to meet here and had dreaded, he saw no trace. Everything was ordinary, prosaic, and uninteresting. Only one thing faintly stirred his curiosity, the terrible, as it were intentionally designed, bad taste which was visible in the cornices, in the absurd pictures, in the dresses, in the bunch of ribbons. There was something characteristic and peculiar in this bad taste.
"How poor and stupid it all is," thought Vasilyev. "What is there in all this trumpery I see now that can tempt a normal man and excite him to commit the horrible sin of buying a human being for